every day you flip on the Twitter hysteria machine, and it's all about Zach Hyman and the Edmonton Oilers. What do you hear? What do you know?
Yeah, I think there's a deal done there, basically. It's going to be an 8-year deal. Chris Johnston had the exact terms today, but it'll be under Nugent Hopkins, so around $40 million. And if it's a 7-year deal, it'll be closer to Josh Anderson's contract, which is about $5.5 million. But mm-hmm. they've basically got a verbal agreement there. It comes down to now, you know, if Toronto and Edmonton can work out a deal, and Dubas did address that, if it made sense for them, they could announce it as soon as today when the freeze lifts in about 20 minutes. I'm not saying it's going to happen in 20 minutes, but that's when the freeze lifts. And if not, then they'll announce it next Wednesday when free agency hits on the 28th. But he's going to Edmonton.
But yeah, before I hand this off to Justin and Stewie, can you address from your point of view what that means for both teams? Because we were just kicking around, you know, sort of what this means from the Maple Leafs' point of view, losing Zach Hyman. You know, who fills that void, and what does this mean for the Oilers? I mean, right now, you know, the hysteria is this is the Lucic contract version 2.0. Can you address it from both sides here?
Well, I mean, look, this is a player that, like, we've been talking about Edmonton and Zach Hyman for a long time.
Yes.
A long time. So he has been on their radar for quite a while. They really liked him as a player, and Hyman had a lot of interest out there. I think LA looked at him. I think Calgary and Vancouver looked at him. I think the Rangers looked at him. Obviously, they're signing Barkley Goodrow. I think the Leafs tried to keep him. There was a lot of interest, and Edmonton was willing to go farther than any other team was to get him, and they got him. And, you know, I think for the Oilers, this is prime time now for McDavid and Draisaitl. There's no more time to wait. It's damn the Torpedoes. We're going in for it now. So I think they just decided that Hyman is a guy they have to have. And they went out and got him. I mean, for Toronto, you're right. They take something out of the lineup that they don't have a lot of other guys that do. And they're going to have to go out and find someone to replace that. And I assume that's exactly what they're going to attempt to do.
Justin.
Yeah, Ken Holland's going to get a hard time. But listen, if the New York and Los Angeles want to sign a guy and you're trying to get him to come to Edmonton, it's going to cost a few extra dollars. Like, that's just the way it's going to be. I understand that.
People of Edmonton, his name is Justin Bourne.
I don't think people in Edmonton think they live in New York or Los Angeles. I think they know, Elliot. I'm not breaking them any news. Regarding the expansion draft yesterday and what unfolded, were you surprised that there wasn't more done in terms of side deals? I saw some reporting today that said, you know, if Montreal had put Jake Allen out there, it was going to take two picks and a prospect to have him not selected. Isn't it wild to me that that couldn't have been one pick or one prospect or some way to get something out of this instead of being left with no additional assets?
Seattle drove a really hard bargain there, Justin. They did. And I'm surprised there aren't more side deals, because I thought there would be, just in general, based on what happened with Vegas 4 years ago. But, you know, in the 24 to 48 hours before the expansion draft, you know, I wrote a note on Tuesday night that teams were saying it was really quiet when it came to trades. And I had a couple, when I put that one out at like 12:30 in the morning, and I had a couple of people who texted me and said, I'm glad you wrote that, because we thought it was only us. And that said to me that the conversations between the Kraken and the other teams were very low. And as it stands right now, when the moratorium lifts, there's only one deal we know of, and that's Tyler Pitlick to Calgary. And I got the sense within the last 20 minutes there wasn't anything more yet. We'll see. But I think it was clear. Seattle went after the free agents. You know, they signed Rieger. They signed Larson. They signed Alexiak. They took a big run at Jaden Schwartz. And the price for not, like, Calgary was hoping that the price to save Giordano would come down from what Jeff had mentioned, a 1 and a 3. It never happened. It never came down. And Montreal, I heard a second rounder and a prospect. I saw that report today from Pierre that it was what you just mentioned. Whatever the case was, Seattle stuck to a level, and they never changed. And what I think they cared about more than anything else, and last night was proof of it, Justin, was cap space. They They wanted cap space as the weapon. They don't have a lot of term. They went out and they gave 5 years to Oleksiak, who was – there were a lot of teams looking at him. I just think they decided that cap hit was the most important thing and everything else was going to be sacrificed to keep it.
Back to the Hyman thing, like, do you not see sort of the madness in not getting this deal done? I know it's probably not the money. They're probably only a couple hundred thousand dollars apart, but the main issue was term. And
I think they were more than a couple hundred thousand dollars apart. I think they were.
Everyone knew it was going to be 500, but I'm talking about per season cap hit.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So the term was the problem. But if I'm Kyle Dubas, isn't that essentially someone else's problem after year five, where the deal probably could get looking not so great?
Some people think like that. Some people don't. I know there are general managers who thought like that. Anthony, to say, I'm going to punt this down the road and someone else can deal with it. But I don't think Dubas thinks like that. And the other thing is that, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, Dubas was out as GM in Toronto. I'm sure he'd like to be GM somewhere else, right? And if, you know, like when you leave a team, I remember I saw this, there's a former Washington football GM, a guy named Charlie Casserly. And I saw an interview with him after he got fired, and they asked him, you know, you want your team to your old team to go 0-16 this year. And he said, I hope not, because that's my resume. Like, how the team does after I leave, if it does well, you can point and say, look, you know, these were some of the things I put in place and they worked. And like, you know, like if you're a young guy like Dubas, you want to be a GM again, you sign a deal that, you know, I'll punt it down the road to the next guy. Well, if it doesn't work, that stain hangs on you. So I wouldn't think like that personally.
Speaking of general managers, Larry Brooks is reporting this as of a couple of minutes ago. Have been told that Lou Lamoriello is looking to bring both Parisi and Suter to the island. Parisi should come as no shock. Should that name?
No, we talked about it, Jeff, I think on the podcast last week, that Suter was on their radar. I think there's about four or five teams still in the race for Suter. I think Boston's looked at him. I think the Islanders have obviously looked at him. I think some of the other teams I've heard connected to him are Colorado, Dallas, and Florida. There probably are more, but those are the ones I heard that really were trying to make a push and wanted him. I'm not surprised in the least that the Islanders would be there. That doesn't come as a big shock to me at all.
Well, there be
any money? I should say too that, Jeff, that I think Suter and Seth Jones are kind of holding up the D market a bit. And once those two guys get sorted out, and I think that's going to be pretty soon, Seth Jones could be tomorrow, and Suter probably might be by the end of the weekend. I think that's going to knock a few other things loose.
Well, here becomes my question. If it's both those players to the island, is there going to be any money left for Bevilier and Pelech? And if so, how much?
He's got, $25 million in cap room right now?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know Suter and Parise signed big deals once, but I'm not expecting that again. With $25 million, you can do a lot of things. You can do Pelech, you can do Parise, you can do Suter, you can do, I think one of the things we're kind of wondering is what's going to happen with Beauvillier, depending on some of the things that they might do. But you can still possibly do Landeskog or Tarasenko too, depending on what the deals look like. I think the Islanders are going to be swinging for the fences, so I'm not surprised that this is being talked about.
Any idea about them bringing back someone like Kyle Palmieri?
Yes, I do think there's real. I didn't mention him. I think there's real interest in trying to bring him back. Yes,
okay.
There are some teams who suspect that they're far along on that, but I'm not expecting Lamoriello to tell me anything.
What? Really?
Yeah.